This episode of the Android Central Podcast is brought to you by Backblaze, unthrottled, uncomplicated online backup for just $5 a month. Plus, you can access your data from anywhere in the world with the Backblaze Android app, available now in the Google Play Store. Get a free risk trial at backblaze.com/androidcentral. Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 199. One to go. It's going to be a big one. Stay tuned. We'll talk about that a little bit. For Friday, August 22nd, 2014. Welcome back. Welcome to the show. It's Friday. I'm in a good mood, by the way. I don't know how that happened. I'm sure we'll do something about that here pretty shortly.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I'm Phil Nickinson. You knew that already. If it is your first time here, by the way, we had a lot of people last week say it was their first time listening, which is awesome. That gives me the warm fuzzies, and you guys know how much I hate that. Welcome. Thanks for listening. Thanks for giving us a few minutes out of your life. So we're going to talk about some Android stuff and maybe some other stuff. And we got a kick-ass contest. I know there are kids listening. Sorry. To announce. We'll announce at the end of the show. Don't let me forget, Jerry.
Well, the pressure. Why does Jerry not have to let you forget?
You know what else you guys forgot? Well, you didn't even notice. I noticed. Camera was stuck on me again. Jerry, say something. That's Jerry Hildenbrand, everybody. Hi. Alex Dobie.
I say something.
Alex.
Hey, everyone. How you doing?
We brought Richard Devine back yet again.
I apologize. I'm not as interesting as Andrew, but, you know, I'll try.
Can we announce publicly that you're having a kid? That's like public knowledge, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm having a kid, and well, I'm not personally. I kind of look like I might be, but I'm not personally. Yeah.
I was gonna say, once you have that kid, you're gonna look like more like me, I think. Only maybe not quite this good. So we'll have to bring you back on and like see how shut your eyelids are.
We don't have the weather over here either, so I don't have that. You know, I won't have that glow, the Florida glow.
That's true. How do you like the beard, by the way? I think I'm bringing it back. I think my wife wanted me to bring it back. Nobody, really?
Oh, I'm trying to think of what to say.
Actually, I was just going to use that as an excuse to tell everybody to go weigh in, tell my wife if you think I should bring the beard back. She's at Snickinson, S. Nickinson on Twitter. Go bug her.
I'll be right back.
Well, I mean, you're going to bug her anyway. But absolutely, everybody... go tell my wife if you think that's a good idea or not. So anyway, enough about the beard. Should we talk some Android? That's why we're here.
Well, should we talk some Android and some Windows Phone, maybe?
Ah!
Good Lord.
How about this? Honestly, I don't know how I feel about this. If you haven't seen yet, we now have an HTC One M8 Windows Phone Edition 8.1. Actually, they didn't screw the name up, which kind of surprised me.
I mean, it's pretty much just the HTC One, isn't it? The HTC One M8. In the naming convention, they say, okay, now it runs Windows Phone. And you know, all the ways they could have butchered that name, they dodged pretty much every pitfall, I think.
Again, because Microsoft's not known for naming things in a rational manner at all.
I mean, take the 8X last time around. The official name for that, I'm pretty sure, was the Windows Phone 8X by HTC, which... You know, it's kind of almost backwards. But, yeah, this is just the HTC One M8. Now it runs Windows Phone. Same hardware, different software.
Exact same hardware. Nothing has changed. And by the way, I pointed this out once or twice, I think, on Google+. If you go back and look at some of the leaks that came out, total canary traps.
Yeah.
I was just cracking up. Like, speaker grills that were just way too low and not in the right place. It's like really obvious stuff. And then you see the official renders come out, and it's like, all right, it's an M8 with, you know, Windows Phone. Everything is where it should be. So, you know, leaks. What are you going to do? Anyway. Yeah, I'm trying to decide if I don't like this, if I want to go, like, total fanboy and just be like, screw you, Windows Phone. You have no right to be on... You can't be on our phone.
I mean, I think a lot of people's first reactions was, how much did Microsoft pay to get Windows Phone on the M8?
Yeah.
Good question.
Because, I mean, there was all this talk last year about maybe dual booting options being banded around. That never would have been a good choice for consumers. I mean, I've said before, I think this is maybe sort of a tacit admission that it's for someone like HTC, it's perhaps not worth just designing a phone from the ground up for Windows Phone, but you know, a close sort of second option to that is why not take the best phone you have and, you know, do a really good job of putting this other OS over and also port a lot of the M8's features over. So you've got Blink Feed, you've got all the camera stuff, Motion Launch. So it's pretty much, you're not really sacrificing anything on the HTC software side, although obviously you don't get Sense or any of the software design that's gone into that, but it's still, you know, this isn't some sort of half-hearted effort to bring Windows to this hardware. It's they brought their own sort of unique feel across to it as well.
You know, I think it's great. We can sit here and like Phil said, we can nerd out and say, well, they shouldn't have, you know, that's an Android phone. It shouldn't have Windows. But I think it's great. There are people who are going to want to use Windows Phone, and the M8 is a great freaking phone. I'm glad they have access to it now. I mean, I am not a Nokia fan. I no real particular reason, but I don't like the way their hardware feels. The M8 would be a great phone for somebody to buy, whether it runs Windows or Android.
Yeah, I think it's a great move for HTC. Especially if you saw that, I know I made fun of that Open Signal fragmentation report thing yesterday, and for the right reasons. But the stuff, the parts in there that really interest me are just the sheer number of devices that are out there in different devices, but also you know, who makes what. And obviously Samsung's the big kid. I think they were 43%. But it really shows you quite nicely, assuming the numbers are, you know, anywhere near in the right ballpark, just how much smaller HTC is than everybody else. For as good as the phones are, for as cool as the company is, they're just, you know, they don't sell anywhere near as many phones. LG was significantly bigger. There's another, there's somebody else on there who was also a lot bigger, and I forget who. And that one actually kind of surprised me. But I tend to forget how small of a, you know, a global company, or at least in terms of sales, HTC tends to be. So for them, this makes total sense, right?
Yeah, and you've got to imagine that your Windows Phone people are used to living within the Nokia ecosystem, but for them, they've got to want a bit of variety now and again. There are surely Windows Phone fans out there who want, you know, not just to be stuck with whatever the current high-end Lumia is, to maybe have some choice and to go with a completely different design language, different features, and that's what HTC is bringing here.
And having used a 930 recently as well, I would have to say that for those guys, they're really lucky, because that's, yeah, that's not without issue. And, you know, in a lot of the parts of the world, be it especially on Verizon, yeah, they've got the Icon, and you've now got this really nice looking alternative. And I mean, for HTC, does it matter as much which platform it sells on? As long as they're selling a HTC One, it's money in their pocket. So
it's going to be awesome.
This is the second or third Windows phone that has a high-end Snapdragon CPU, right? Mm-hmm. That I think is interesting too. Is as Windows gets more mature, they open up more services and more things are going on at the time. They're going to need phones like M8 or next year's model HTC One, or maybe Samsung to get in, that have big specs. And this is a great introduction.
What's going to happen when the M9, let's just call it that for the sake of argument, when that gets announced next spring and is Android only at the time, and the Windows Phone people are rightfully, I think, just going to be like, why can't, all right, fine, we get it, but you teased us.
Well, here's a possibility. How likely do you think it is that now that we've established this sort of duality between Android and Windows Phone with the M8, that maybe next time, you know, the M9 launches, maybe you get a GP and maybe you also get a Windows Phone edition within a relatively short space of time?
It depends on who's calling the shots, maybe. If it's the usual carrier thing, I give it 50-50, actually. I don't know if the carriers would want to do both at one time.
That's
or, I mean, hell, Verizon can't even get it right when they've got, you know, 8 months difference between the two. If you didn't see that, don't worry about it. I don't know. I'd give that 50-50. Either it happens or it doesn't. And I would lean on the shy side of that. It would not surprise me to see Android announcement Windows Phone later again, if it happens again at all.
Maybe with a shorter sort of runtime, you know, trail time between the two, possibly. We'll see.
Yeah, I think that depends on how much involvement from Microsoft is there. If HTC is doing all the heavy lifting on the software side, I think we'll see Android first and Windows later. But if Microsoft jumps in there, I can easily see both at the same time. One event, HTC extravaganza thing. The carriers, I think Phil was right. They're not going to like that. That's, you know, that adds a layer of confusion. Even though we call it choice, it adds a layer of confusion when somebody comes into the store. But I would like to see it.
Are we all in agreement that dual boot is just a bad idea and that only a very small number of nerds want or need that?
Yeah. Dual boot has never, ever produced a good user experience on anything, ever. For a normal consumer.
Pretty much.
The history of boots that are dual.
Yes.
If they want to go there in any type of official fashion, it's got to be like a special developer's edition that's just not consumer-focused. I mean, if Google messes your stuff up,
it's the people have tried to make it work on the tablet side before, and either one or two or both of Google or Microsoft have ended up shooting it down in the end. You've got to get these two competing ecosystems, these two competing companies, to play nicely on the same device, and that's just, you know, aside from whether it's just a good idea from a consumer perspective, that's a struggle that you're also going to have.
We've seen, I mean, HTC's done it before. They had one of the first, it was Windows Mobile and, was it running XP or 95? The Advantage. Nobody?
See, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, you're all too young.
Or too smart.
Or too smart. Fine. Old school guys out there know what I'm talking about. But yeah, dual boot, just not a good idea. What else about that? I don't know, does it entice you guys to get one and use Windows Phone at all?
Yes, it does, actually. I would like you or Dan to send me one. I don't like it enough to go out and spend $800 Jerry dollars. But if you or Dan wanted somebody to send one to, I'd love to have a look at it. That's how much enticement there is, and I hate Windows stuff.
What's the exchange rate on Jerry dollars these days?
I still like Windows Phone a lot, actually. I mean, it's not for me, but I think they're doing a really good job with it.
Yeah, I think from sort of a roaming and hacking and developer sort of perspective, it's going to be interesting to see just when developers get these things cracked open, how easy it is to port between the two, because the Android M8 is pretty much, you know, cracked wide open at this point. You can do more or less anything with it, and it, you know, as has been shown with converting it to a GPE or whatever, it's relatively easy to do a lot of different things with it, and it wouldn't surprise me if certainly the Android to Windows conversion was relatively easy. The other way around, maybe not so much because Microsoft keeps things locked down, but that's going to be really interesting when people start getting stuck into the code.
Is this going to be the new HD2?
I hope.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, go look it up, because this was like the original giant phone running Windows Mobile back in the day, and we're like, oh my God, it's huge. It was like, I think it was 4.3.
4.3.
You know, it was huge. It was giant for the day, and it never really. I think Sprint might have gotten it, or maybe it was. I'm trying to remember how it sold in the States. I mean, not well, but this phone. I mean, you can still hack new stuff onto it today. It's pretty awesome, and that you can do that is just insane. So I don't know. Maybe the M8 will become that.
Guess a very small part of me wanted it to that them to sort of resurrect that name to maybe it to be the HTC One, HD3, or something like that.
Maybe, except for, I mean, that's a name nobody knows except for nerds.
No,
and HTC has enough problems with names; it doesn't need to confuse. I mean, God, I just did a quick look at the HTC One Remix this week, which is it's the Mini 2, the one mini. It's the HTC One Mini 2, only on Verizon, so it's the HTC One Remix. And that's when Verizon ran a commercial trying to show the Android and Windows Phone versions, only it used the Mini 2 for Android instead. Whoops.
I almost think Remix is a better name than HTC One Mini 2. That's just a little too clumsy for me.
Easier
Remix,
to say, yeah.
Yeah. At least it's just a word, not two numbers either side of something.
So we're in agreement that Verizon did a good thing by naming it the Remix.
Well, they did one good thing.
One good thing ever in the entire history of humankind.
Don't make me go that far. Huh. All right, well, maybe we'll get one to play with it. We'll see. I haven't spent any AT&T money in a while. I mean, spend any money on AT&T. God, I'm going to get emailed. AT&T is paying you. I haven't paid AT&T. You know, that's still coming out wrong. The last phones I bought were on Verizon, so it's weird. I haven't bought anything from AT&T in a little while. That's what I'm saying.
Phil at AndroidCentral.com.
What was it? Somebody was like, Facebook's paying you to write all this stuff about Facebook Messenger. I'm like, no, they're not. I don't like Facebook that much.
I just want to know.
Stalk people I went to high school with and make fun of them. Then they're probably doing the same thing to me.
Who's paying these people to comment about people?
I know.
Paying you. That's what I want to know. Because
those people were obviously paid by Twitter.
So I mean, that's been kind of a story this week as well. All this annoying stuff suddenly starting to show up in Twitter feeds. I mean,
yeah.
How much has that been affecting you guys? Because it does kind of depend on how you use Twitter, which clients you use. It only affects you affects you most obviously if you use the official client, but you can kind of dodge stuff. But if you still have this situation where third-party apps are kind of in a lousy spot where they run out of tokens, and the whole thing is just making it even more difficult to have an enjoyable Twitter experience.
Here's what I've decided. We went from this initial Twitter thing, which is all about talking to each other and interacting with people you might not otherwise do, and now Twitter is all about propagating Twitter and perpetuating Twitter.
But then that person that I might not talk to is suddenly BuzzFeed.
Right. No, and Twitter is all about building itself even further. And they've done a remarkable job when I stop and think about it. Even though I disagree with a lot of what they did, the reasons why they did it have just been genius. I mean, you can't turn on a TV newscast. I don't know how it is in the UK, but here, you can't watch any newscast, local or especially national, without them using Twitter as a tool.
Pretty much.
And when
Robin Williams died,
they
were just bringing out random British celebrities who had tweeted about Robin Williams. Well, you know what? So did I, but I don't get on the news for it. So
it makes me sad, you know, as the journalist, in that it's just lazy. It's easy because, all right, well, instead of, it used to be you'd go out on the street and you'd just find random people in your town to comment on stuff. And now it's just random famous people that might or might not have anything to say, but it's even easier to do because all you have to do is copy and paste the embed code, and there you have your quote. So, but I get why they do it. And from Twitter's perspective, it's genius. And they've done a lot of really, really important and good behind-the-scenes stuff to make that happen, and to make it this unofficial communications tool, if not official, I guess, for just so many industries. It's insane. I mean, it's just so smart that they did that. I hate it. I'm not a fan of it.
I hate the week-old notifications that keep coming through as well.
That was strange.
I had to turn... I think I turned just about every notification off just because it gets noisy.
I mean, the worst thing is when you have that combined with a wearable, right? Because suddenly you have notifications going to your wrist that two people that you follow have favorited a tweet. And of all the useless things that you don't want bothering you on a wearable, that's pretty far up there.
That said, I think it's perfectly fine to use Twitter to go bug my wife, S. Nickinson. Send her all the notifications.
Hashtag Phil Beard.
See, I'm sitting here complaining about it, telling people to go tweet S. Nickinson, Snickinson. Jerry needs to be back on Twitter so we can dump all this on him. I shouldn't give my wife a hard time. I don't know what she did to me this week.
Bring Jerry back onto the Twitter beard chat.
I don't want to talk about Twitter. Twitter bores me. You want to do some Q&A? I like the Q&A.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the Q&A.
Yeah.
That's the one tab I don't have open.
Hi, Q&A. It used to be the chat room. Now it's the Q&A.
Alex does love you, really.
Hi, Q&A. Christian wants to know, do you guys still use your Android Wear watches daily? If so, have you seen a big difference in how you use your smartphones or how you handle notifications? Well, I got that right there still.
Yep.
Jerry and I were talking this week, and I was like, I might go back to the Pebble. It's still sitting here somewhere.
I never left.
Maybe I'm not going back to the Pebble. I'm not going to go that far.
Yep.
But because I use a Moto X as my phone and I am into this habit of looking at what it's on the screen when it lights up and gives me a notification, I don't use Android Wear as much as a lot of other people would unless I'm in the car when I shouldn't be using it. I keep going back there because if I don't, when I sit in the car, if I don't shut notifications off, it never fails. I get a mile or two down the road and my wrist vibrates and I just got to know what it says.
Yep.
Even though I know it's usually, it's a cat picture from Phil or something. I just have to look. So that's where it's made a change for me.
It's a tweet from my wife.
I think the problem is it becomes almost like a reflex, doesn't it? I think we found this at CES and we were all on the same hangout. And whenever a message came in, it was almost like synchronized across all of us. We would all, you know, all of our wrists were buzzing. We would all look at the message at the same time.
Our entire table just lifted its wrist at once.
And maybe it's difficult to get out of that habit when you're driving because that's just what you do when your wrist vibrates.
Could be.
I mean, I guess that's why it's so easy just to swipe down and turn notifications off. Maybe that's something we need to be more proactive in doing.
I want it automatic when it sees you moving over X number of miles an hour. And then you have to turn it back on if you're the passenger. Because I forget to turn them off.
They need to do something. I completely agree. It's just, you know, and I don't want to go so far as to say they need to do something for the phone in general to shut off. Or at least, you know, Moto Assist makes it optional, and it should be optional.
Right.
But I think it's a very important tool to have, and that's still one of the most important things I think that we can preach is put your damn phone down while you're driving. Especially, you know, for me, I got, you know, kids standing on the side of the road at 7 in the morning every day waiting to get on the bus. And the last thing I want to see is somebody not seeing the stop sign, or it drives me nuts seeing people look down. You know, I'm looking at my phone. Oh, I'm driving. I'm looking. It kills me. So,
but back to Android Wear.
Yes.
There's potential here. I just don't know if anybody has found it yet. But having something that can tell you anything that would happen on your phone or anything that you would see on your phone, on your wrist, there's got to be one killer feature that somebody's going to come up with. And that's what I'm waiting for. That's why I won't go back to the Pebble.
Maybe, but I think for the next, I mean, it looks like we're going to have some more watches soon. We got the Moto X coming up. Rumors this week that maybe LG has something. You know, there are other manufacturers involved with Android Wear that haven't yet shown what they're working on. Asus again, is rumored. So hopefully these new watches, if they arrive, are going to solve, maybe not necessarily the software stuff, because the software is still very sort of nailed down by Google, and any big changes there maybe not coming until L. But on the hardware side, I think the big thing that we can do right now is just change the way these look. You know, have a smartwatch that you actually want to wear, that looks like a nice watch. I mean, it used to be with smartphones that a big compliment of a good-looking phone was that it looked and it felt like jewelry. I mean, a watch is jewelry. Like, that's the bare minimum that it needs to do. It needs to look like jewelry because that's what it is.
And all of these smartwatches, I don't care which one you buy, they are a far cry from the niceness of a real timepiece.
Yeah.
They're millions of miles away, so there's a lot of room there where it can be improved.
And yeah, just going off the two we have so far, it's your basic smartphone design transplanted onto your wrist. It's obvious that the smartphone thinking has gone to the design of this, you know, with the exception of the Moto 360, which they made a big deal out of saying, we're just going to design a watch. With the other two, it's almost like it's kind of, you know, going back to designing this other product category and just shrinking it down, which is not the way to make a good-looking watch.
That's the thing, and I'm going to bet that Phil agrees with me because he's held one. People are expecting too much from the Moto 360. When you put it on, it's a big, round smartphone strapped to your wrist. It's not magic, and I worry.
You look at all these watch face contests, Motorola just announced their winner, and you look at it, and it's very pretty. It's not going to work. The face just is not that big. The icon, you know, you see like the little tiny Gmail icon. It's going to be like 4 pixels across. It's going to be tiny. That's not going to work.
But at the same time, we can all agree that the 360 looks so much better than the other two.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
it's a big step forward, even if we're not quite to the point of having a smartwatch that looks like a really nice timepiece.
Right. I just worry every time I see somebody, take my money now. You better look at that thing before you just throw your money at it, because it's not magic. It's still
And it's maybe more
version one.
It's maybe more a result of just the general apathy around the current two watches than you know, people thinking that Motorola is somehow going to magically make a better watch. They may well make a better watch, but they'll make a better watch because they designed it better.
Yep. I mean, we're kind of repeating what we've been saying for weeks. Yep. We'll find out in a couple, I guess. Assuming, do you think they're going to release it on the 4th? Like, we'll be able to buy it.
No comment.
I'm nodding. I wasn't watching.
If I say something, it's going to be wrong. So I'm just not saying.
I think it'll be days. It'll be days, not weeks.
Okay.
That's my prediction.
You know, I'm looking forward to seeing what Fossil comes up with.
Yep.
Fossils, they don't make million-dollar watches, but they make really nice-looking fashion watches. And a lot of people buy them, and I can picture them worrying about how it looks first, and then functionality.
And that's kind of what we're waiting for, isn't it? It's a watchmaker to push it on a little bit further rather than a smartphone maker making something for something they think that you want to use.
It's going to be interesting to see people make, you know, sort of bridge that divide from the other side, going from watches to smartwatches rather than smartphone to smartwatch.
And Scott brings up a good point in the Q&A that I think we need to reiterate between, you know, every chance we can between now and the September 4th event. Yes, do you expect any significant additional features will be added to Android Wear with the update to Android L? Yes.
Oh, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And Google pretty much said as much, too, at I.O. They're like, look, here it is. It's awesome. There's going to be a lot more coming with L.
You know what I think, though? I think it's going to be behind-the-scenes features. When your watch upgrades to Android L, you're not going to see any difference. But the people developing apps will have so much more to work with.
Yep.
That a week later, you'll start to see all kinds of differences.
Yeah, I mean, think of all the APIs that are coming into L. And we're seeing a little bit of it now with the Google Fit preview. Yep. That sort of thing. So it's a big deal. Whether it's important to you, that's another question.
So, that's a good question, too.
It's a very good question.
There are people still very happy with Jelly Bean and the way it works with the SD card and have went back on purpose. So we're not all the same.
Anthony wants to know, are you able to receive images on the watch from Hangouts? Yes, and they're tiny. Let me see if I can pull one up here. There's one. That's
neat.
Yeah. They're very small. And, you know, depending on how big it is, it might not crop, but just show you part of the picture. So sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. In this case, that was a picture of Jerry's terminal. He was messing around on something. So, like, I could tell it was a terminal, but I couldn't read any of it on the watch. So, yeah. You see pictures. I'm just flipping through here. See if there's any more Android Wear stuff. Nope, that's... Oh, one more. Do you think the Moto 360 will be worth getting into Android Wear devices when it comes out? Yes, I do. I think it's that nice. I think these are worth, you know, getting into Android Wear.
Yeah, especially, you know, you... Right now, you've got a $200 investment. That's a lot of money. But as the next generation comes out, these watches are going to go down in price. And when you can get in for $129 or so, yeah, jump in and have a lot of fun with it. You'll spend $129 in a weekend going to see movies or goofing around. So don't be afraid, you know, to try it.
And if the rumors are true about what Asus is doing, it might be around that sort of price point anyway. So, we're going to see them on September 3rd as well, and it looks like they're going to have a watch. So,
well, I mean, they flat out said, hey, look, here's a watch.
Yeah, if you show a picture of a watch in your invitation, you better have one.
Yeah. All right, well, before we move on, it is time to talk about Lynda.com. Jerry?
Phil?
Have you learned this week? Lynda.com is an easy and affordable way to help you learn. You can stream thousands of courses. They're talking 100,000 videos now, Jerry.
Cool, I believe it.
For $25 a month, which is pretty awesome. You know, and it's, here's how often we use this. I had to learn like one little thing in Adobe Premiere this week because I was doing something with a video, and I was like, how do I do that? Search in Lynda, it's right there. Like 10 minutes later, I'm on my way. How perfect is that?
And
Photoshop, same thing.
Did you notice that while you find exactly what you're looking for, you also see three or four other things that you know you'll want to learn? That, yep, to me is pretty cool. It's like a little bit of discovery there, too. And I've got all kind of stuff bookmarked.
If you're looking into getting into Android development, there's a whole bunch of stuff there, including with the new Android Studio, which I know developers are gritting their teeth a little bit. So if you need a little help with that, lynda.com, lynda.com. And we got a nice deal going with them. Use lynda.com/AndroidCentral and you can get a free 7-day trial. That's all the courses. Check them out at your leisure for a whole week. lynda.com/AndroidCentral. Woohoo! What's next? I want to talk about Uber for a second. Because I know people are kind of back and forth on this whole, not ride sharing, but you know, Uber and Lyft versus traditional cabs. I have absolutely no problem with cabs. A lot of the times I think cabs are easier than car services. Whether they're, you know, cheaper or not just kind of depends whether you think a car service is that much nicer than a cab. You know, it's hit and miss. I'm fine doing either one. But this new thing, Uber has coughed up an API, something that, you know, it's code that other apps and developers can use to tie into Uber. So say United Airlines is one of the first partners. And, you know, you've got the United app and you say, all right, I'm going to Chicago. When I get to Chicago, have a car ready for me. And just all right there in one app. That's awesome. I will use the hell out of that if I flew United. Delta, do this. There was somebody else who was doing it. Expensify, which I use to keep track of expenses with all the time I'm traveling. It's going to use it as well. And I forget some of the other services that are tying it in. Do you guys see this? I mean, this is, I hate to say the future, it's so cliche, but these sorts of service APIs, is that really going to be the future, especially with, look at something like Google Now?
I hope not.
Why?
Special case, but if I hit the button and bring an Uber car, they say, oh, I can't fit your wheelchair, sorry, and they drive off. There are no options involved there. That's not fair to the driver. That's not fair to the consumer. And that can't be the only case where you put a driver and a user in a position where it just doesn't work. I understand they want things to be very simple, push a button, get a car, but they have to think about some of these situations before they get too big.
I think the thing I like about it the most is the fact that you don't, like, the advantage over, you know, like our black cabs in London is that you can pay with your phone. So you link up your Google Wallet account, boom. And, you know, I don't have to worry about digging around. If I'm traveling, I don't have to worry about getting a credit card out, or, you know, some cars, private hire cabs, they don't take credit card. They just take cash. And, it's one of those kind of war on convenience things. You know, how much are we willing to sacrifice for the convenience? And like you said, with the airlines, you know, I mean, I use British Airways a lot. So if British Airways put this in, manage every single flight through my phone. So boom, 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 just line it all up and it's there. I get obviously what Jerry's saying. It's, you know, there are going to be cases where it's not going to suit you. But I mean, for those of us who are just, you know, convenience, it's going to be good to use, provided it works.
The other thing I like is that, especially with the Ubers, I can easily flip back and forth between, because I have my credit cards in my Google Wallet account, and I've got a company credit card in there, because, you know, when we're buying Nexus devices to give away and stuff like that, just, you know, real easy to do. And in the Uber app, I can flip back and forth. So if I'm on a business trip, I can make the company pay for it. If I'm there for me, I can pay for it. It's real simple. I don't know. I'm excited about this idea.
I just don't want to see them lose focus and think, okay, we're done. Now let's integrate ourselves with airline applications or, like you said, Google Now. I would love to see these kind of options in Google Now especially, but I need these options to work for me, and I know I'm not alone.
No, that's a fair worry. Alex, you've been quiet.
It's... like I said, it's a balance between convenience and just being able to make sure a good level of service is maintained, right? And that's been, you know, kind of a problem with Uber as it's grown. It's sort of slowly spreading outwards. I'm kind of a little more relaxed about it, I think. Opening stuff up to third-party applications is generally, for most kinds of services that we've seen, proved to be a good thing, just through giving consumers more choice. I think I'm willing to wait and see what happens, though.
Be honest, Alex. you just go see Q and Moneypenny, and they just give you.
Fine.
Well, neither confirm nor deny.
If you look outside, Alex doesn't have a car. But that doesn't mean it isn't there.
He hits a button on his phone and a black helicopter lands.
Man, I wish. That's like the biggest disappointment when I come home is you go from a place like San Francisco or New York where you can walk everywhere. I was in Austin a few weeks ago, and once we were there, we walked a lot. And I get home here to Pensacola, and it's just back in the car. And it's too damn hot right now, but still. It's just, I like being able to walk. It's cool. I don't want to talk about that fragmentation report anymore. Well, let's talk about it, Jerry, because actually Russell Hawley wrote something which we need to put up probably as soon as we're done here, so look for that, you know, late Friday or later this weekend if you're listening to this later. Is fragmentation still a thing, Jerry? Or whenever I hear somebody use the word fragmentation, it almost immediately shows me the direction they're trying to take and what they're trying to say.
I think you're right that right now fragmentation is a big buzzword. That doesn't mean it's not a real thing. A lot of people like to focus on the different numbers of devices and operating system versions, and Google's done a lot to try to sort that out. I remember not too awful long ago, if you were to write an app that needed to touch the clock, you had to add about 5,000 extra lines because every OEM monkeyed with it. And if you wrote an app that worked on a Nexus, it didn't work on anything else. If you wrote an app that worked for Samsung, it didn't work on HTC because all these companies had changed it. That's gone. Now things are a lot more unified. So that kind of fragmentation is pushing forward. But there are 17,000 Android devices this year. Good. That means I got 17,000 to pick from. 93% of all of them will all run the same apps. I'm okay with that.
And the one big thing that I think, again, Russell Hawley pointed out that isn't addressed in this report is Google Play services. You know, Google's aware of, you know, let's just call it fragmentation for want of a better word. Google's aware of this, and Google Play services is the way of dealing with it from a security perspective, like we've seen from some of these malware scares recently, and from a functionality perspective, through bringing APIs in that work across the vast majority of devices running FroYo and above. So I think to just look at the raw data and not really to provide the context of the way Android apps work is maybe a bit misguided. That's my main problem with it, I think.
My biggest problem with that whole report is the Samsung Galaxy S3. They treated every SKU as a different device.
Yeah, I saw
that. They didn't treat all the SKUs of the iPhone 5 as different devices. That's a bit ridiculous, and it makes me feel that you have an agenda, even if you don't.
And that they kind of have an agenda but don't necessarily know what it is?
Yeah.
Or even know what it should be if you're going to...
Maybe.
If you're going to properly have an agenda in that respect. Like, I, you know, if fragmentation really is a problem, fine. Let's talk about it. Let's address it. But I think we're having such a hard time defining what that is. And even then, it's in I haven't read Russell's piece yet, but he and I were talking about it yesterday. A lot of it depends on what Google is folding under. You know, what is an Android device? Is it only a device with Google services? Is it only something that has the Play services, you know, framework? I don't know. What do they consider to be a part of this 93% of devices that are on the current versions? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot going on there. I just, whenever somebody says it's a problem, well, tell me what that problem really is, because developers have, you know, not hands down, but really good developers will tell you, no, it's not that big a deal anymore.
And, you know, the thing is they can have 3-hour keynote speeches and still not cover everything about this and get everybody to understand. You can't write a blog post that definitively answers any of these questions.
And nor can you give any solution to this, right? We've been over this before in editorials. This is always going to be the way Android works because it's built into the way, at you know, just the way Android is constructed. So, you know, you can't have market share that's as vast as Android's without freedom to customize, and that freedom to customize means freedom to not update.
And it's the way you should want it to work. That OnePlus, that's the reason you can have that is because of the way Android works. Your Note 3, Note 4 is coming up. That's because of the way Android is. if you want to change it and lock everything down, I saw comments that they need to make Android on phones more like Android Wear. No, you don't want that. Mm. Then you get a Nexus 6, and that's your only choice. That's not what we want.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of addressed this a few months back when we were talking about the direction Google's taking with locking down Wear, locking down Android TV. If this does happen on phones, it'll be akin, you know, something kind of like this Android Silver thing that's been talked about, though that's, you know, not been talked about too much lately. It'll be a separate line of phones that, you know, that Google won't just enforce this across the board, because if they did, the market share would just collapse.
And that's all Alex has to say about that, pretty much.
Well, there's nothing. I'm
surprised he didn't just hit the mic and just.
Yeah, you should have just dropped the mic and walked off.
And of course, things like Android Wear and Android TV, you potentially want a more consistent experience than, you know, personally speaking, I'm not so sure I'd want TouchWiz TV.
Google, well, I'm TV pretty sure that already exists in some form.
Yeah, it absolutely does.
So the Samsung, not in my living room.
The Samsung Home Sync? Is that what it's called?
Yep.
I don't know.
Options.
Whenever somebody says that, I mean, my question is, so what? Because I've got a lot of phones here on a lot of different versions on a lot of different carriers, and they all pretty much do the same thing. Now, the oldest phone I'm using at this point is the Nexus 5, I think. As you go back past that, at what point does it start to fall off? I think, you know, GS4, M7, you're probably still okay.
When we were talking about Photosphere when it got released for the iPhone last week, if you have anything the Nexus S or newer, you can run all these apps. That's what, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
If you haven't upgraded your phone in 3 years, you may have a very good reason, but you can't expect the world to stop for you.
You know, and the report says, now there's sensor fragmentation. No, there's just new stuff. I mean, are you supposed to keep on the same hardware from 3 years ago? Apple doesn't do that. Samsung, nobody does that.
Nope.
Just go back to using a Nokia 3310 and I've done with it.
There are a number of reasons why you don't have Touch ID on the iPhone 4. Because, you know, A, you can't go back and retrofit this stuff very easily. Well, you know, B, the processor's a big chunk of that.
And sensor fragmentation is the reason you don't have it on the iPhone 4.
Right. I mean, it's...
If you want to use that type of hype, it has to apply across the board.
Right. So, anyway, that's me not talking about the OpenSignal report.
Well, you know, they're great guys, and we're not trying to rag them.
And I think OpenSignal, like, is a service. If you've never used OpenSignal, what's another one? Root Wireless? What's the one I'm thinking of?
Root Metrics.
Forgetting the name, I'm sorry. Really cool stuff. You stick it on your phone, drive around, it shows you what the signal is, where you are, and where other people are near you, and it's really cool. Really handy service. So by all means, try it out. But yeah, just the report was forced.
And I can promise, if any of us tried to write up something about a report and fragmentation, we would have people questioning everything we said too. They did not. I don't think they tried to.
I don't think they were trying to mislead anybody.
Right.
It was forced. There's a reason why we don't write reports like that, and that's one of them. So anyway, I'm still not talking about it. I do want to talk for a minute about LG announced a couple low-end phones the other night, and they're not, or the other day, I guess, in Asia. The LG El Fino and El Bello, which Italian names for Korean phones is kind of interesting. The Fino is 4.5 inches. The Bello is 5 inches. Same sort of design as the G3. These are 3G-only devices, though, and they are targeted for, where is it, Latin America, Europe, Asia, and the CIS, or CIS. Sorry if I get in trouble for saying the sometimes. Emerging markets and teens, really, is what these are for. I was kind of looking at them like you look at the Moto G and Moto E here in the States, and wondering why or if LG should do that sort of thing here. Somehow do fulfillment in the U.S. and get us some $79, $149, whatever dollar phones here.
I know why LG's doing what they're doing, but if anybody were to ask me, you know, if somebody from Belize or something said, I need an inexpensive smartphone, wait for Android One.
That's true.
Wait for the consistent experience that you probably will want at the right price. And I'm not knocking LG for trying. It's like Samsung. Do as much as you can afford to do, because once in a while you're going to hit something great and everybody loves it.
I think it's interesting. I was going to say the it's interesting to see they brought the look, you know, wholesale the look of the G3 over. You know, obviously it's cheaper, the bezels are a bit bigger, but you still have the buttons on the back. That's a big feature. LG's actually bringing the UI of this thing of the G3 to a bunch of other devices, as well as these two new entry level things that are launching this week. So, you know, really getting behind this new design language.
Good.
And there's so much of an improvement on the previous L, you know, like the last bunch of L range. They were just these little boxy phones. And, I mean, we saw some new ones at Mobile World Congress in February.
They all looked like a Galaxy S2, didn't they?
Yeah, but they kind of brought – you could see that LG had started to bring some of the – you know, I think they brought Knot Code and a few of the bits and pieces from the G Pro 2 to the cheaper phones. And so it's good to see them sort of start uniting behind – you know, like the what they get, what they're putting on the premium stuff, but like Jerry says, some of the markets you're going to probably get a better experience down the line with Android One, at potentially even a cheaper price than LG's offering as well.
And that, I mean, that's the problem for anyone selling a cheap Android phone. You know, it used to be Motorola, the Moto G and the Moto E were the two phones that would basically kill any, you know, crappy $100 Android phone that was running Ice Cream Sandwich or whatever. Now in emerging markets, you're going to have that, and you're going to have Android One, and that's, you know, that's a big squeeze at the low end for companies like LG and Samsung, you know, trying to make any kind of money on budget handsets.
But now Andrew's not here, so the four of us, back buttons on those phones is awesome. Who doesn't want back buttons on every freaking phone from now on?
Yep.
Yes. Andrew's just weird, I think.
What else? I tell you what. Let us talk about NatureBox, because I'm kind of hitting that point of the day, Jerry, where I'm a little hungry. And if you take a look at me, I should probably eat something that's a little better for me. And that's where NatureBox comes in. It's delicious. I actually just had some right before the podcast. In fact, I even noticed the boxes sitting behind me. Really, really good, delicious tasting snacks. They are smarter snacks, no high fructose corn syrup, no artificial flavors or colors, no hydrogenated oils. Jerry, I know how you feel about hydrogenated oils.
Hate them.
They're smarter snacks. Here's the way it works. You go to naturebox.com/AC. You say, send me a box, and they will give you 50% off your first month. You pick out 5 snacks, and they kick them your way. You can get them at 3 different sizes. Beyond that, 3 different price points, and you get to pick what's in there, and it's actually really, really good. I'm going to go eat some more after we're done here.
Make sure you get dried figs.
Yes. I had some pistachio stuff that was really good, too. So naturebox.com/AC, 50% off your first month. So very affordable. It tastes so good, and it's good-tasting snacks that are good for you. Naturebox.com/AC, 50% off your first month. Go do it. And now, anything else for Motorola?
I want back buttons on the next Moto X.
I saw EV Leaks put out one final leak or something. Yeah, I mean, look, we know the phone's probably coming here in a couple weeks. It looks like a slightly bigger phone. I assume it's going to be more powerful. I think we talked about it last week. I just want a better camera.
Don't screw it up, Motorola. Don't screw it up.
I mean, the camera on this is, if the leak is any indication, looks pretty big, which, you know, is... you can't
what is that? No, hang on. What does that mean?
It looks like a porthole.
It looks big, therefore...
Yeah, it looks, you know, they haven't just crammed the same small sensor in. Generally, if you look at phones that are, you know, put a lot of emphasis behind the camera module is larger because the sensor's larger. So if you have a larger camera module, then chances are you're putting more effort into the camera.
All right, well, see, if it's not good, you know what's going to happen now. We're going to give Alex so much crap for the rest of the year. Well, but Alex, you said it was bigger.
Well, it's a bigger camera module, right? The sensor's bigger, the lens is bigger. There's a reason why you don't have a DSLR style lens on your phone because of size constraints, right? Aside from the cost of the thing.
And that big porthole on the back is going to let in a lot more light and should improve things in lower light conditions.
Thank you, Jerry.
We can say. We can definitely say that.
Fine.
And on the back of a wood one, it really does look like a porthole.
It does, doesn't it?
It looks I still reserve the right to give Alex a hard time, though.
So what if that Motorola logo, Jerry, is a back button?
Yes. I'll sign up for Verizon to get one if it's a back button.
The other thing which is kind of interesting is if you look very, very closely, you can kind of see notches around the trim, which looks kind of metallic. We've seen pictures of it before that supposedly leaked out, where it looks kind of like what you would have on an iPhone or an M8, where it's kind of segmented out. So it's going to be interesting to see that as well, if it is this sort of Galaxy Alpha-style metal frame. You know, again, looking very different, but... The part that your hand's in contact with being metal and not plastic.
I just want QI charging as a Moto Maker option.
Yeah.
Definitely. I understand you don't want to build 14 different color backs with QI enabled and all this other stuff.
So Qi.
Just make us a Qi charger back that's black for the same price, and you watch us all rush to buy it.
See, my problem with that is... my fear is that AT&T is just going to kill that for everyone, because AT&T is the thing that the GSM version is based on, and if they're not doing it for AT&T because AT&T is in bed with PowerMat, then maybe they're not going to do it for anyone else.
You ruin everything.
He's not wrong.
AT&T ruins everything is what he's trying to say.
You're not wrong, and now all my dreams of Qi charging have disappeared, because you're right. It's not going to be there.
Well, we'll see. They're using Qi for the watch, so...
What are the little dots, do you think, down on the bottom? You can really see it in the white one in that picture. I mean, it almost looks like what we have here on the Fire Phone. Which
I don't know what them are for.
Disco lights.
Disco lights. Is it going to have a weird 3D UI? And no, I don't see Motorola doing anything like that. Maybe. Another canary trap?
And this is 100% speculation, but I really trust who told me this. Motorola made all those Tango devices. Those Tango devices have weird little sensors in the front corners. And this person is sure that those are awareness sensors that can perform different functions.
So remind us what those do in the Tango device, because...
They kind of do the 3D thing. Like the Fire Phone does, except they don't necessarily display it in the UI. They can enable 3D based on where your head is. They also do things like barometric pressure or elevation, and they help map what level you're on inside a building. They have multiple functions.
They look kind of funny. I'll go ahead and say it.
They look funny on the white one. I mean, never been a fan of the way the white Moto X looks anyway, but this just looks... I mean, yeah, nothing to say these renders are final, but it looks... There's a lot on there that looks kind of like it doesn't belong, whereas on the black one, because, you know, the surface is just black, maybe you can ignore them a little more easily. I don't know. We'll see.
I know if we can believe the leaked specs, it's got Snapdragon 801 in it. I just hope Motorola has done something with that extra core that's there. You know, it took Google long enough to do anything with it and started out as health, you know, apps, which are great. You know, can be a pedometer, low power health interface. But I want Motorola to do something amazing like they did on the original Moto X and say, you know, you've got that extra piece of that processor sitting around. Here's the cool stuff we did with it.
And I'm sure they will. That was the big seller for the original Moto X, the extra sensors on the inside, maybe with the X plus one, the X two, whatever, it's going to be about these sensors on the outside and how they can make things a little different.
I hope.
I said it before, and I'll say it again. I think they're going to surprise us. What I think.
Yep.
Last thing I had on the script, and I want to do some more Q&A before we go, but the last thing I had was that coin, like credit card thing that you're basically supposed to be able to hook all your existing credit cards into it and then select it on the card and hand it to somebody and it just works or whatever. Sort of available soon, but sort of not. If they're calling you a backer, I can't remember if it was like a pre-order or if you did it as sort of a Kickstarter type thing. I remember you paid coin directly or more directly than you do like a Kickstarter type thing. But yeah, so you had to claim your account or choose to gift it. And then when the app is available, and the iOS app will be available on the 27th or 28th, Android not till September 25th, then you'll have to choose if you want to be a beta tester, at which point you get 85% guaranteed, not functionality, but it's guaranteed to work at 85% of places, basically.
Wait.
What?
You can sign up to be a beta tester with something that controls your money?
Yeah. And the feature where it'll freak out or shut down, I forget exactly what it does, if you accidentally leave it somewhere, that won't be working. If you want that stuff, if you want it to supposedly work everywhere, 100% of places, you'll have to wait till next spring. And it'll cost a little more money then. Yeah, I'm less concerned about the extra $20 or whatever you have to pay. But it's just like, no. And I'm all for the idea, but credit cards are such a touchy thing here right now, especially in the U.S. because we don't have chip and PIN. And yeah,
we're all shaking our heads. You know what works 100% of the time? Your existing cash. Credit cards.
There was no way, even if I had this thing like next week, no way I would have it in my wallet and leave everything else at home. Because I can see somebody doing it with this Google Wallet card too that I have never used.
And that's the main selling point of it, isn't it, right? That you don't have to carry your existing stuff around with you.
Right, but I mean, all it takes, and especially here in the States, because it's not in Europe, other places, they walk up to you with these little handheld things and then you run the card or they run it right there in front of you. Mm. But here in the States, you hand your card and they disappear, which is crazy. But I can just see them saying, I don't know what this is. I'm not using it.
I can see Phil calling me in the middle of the night. Jerry, I need you to send me $250 into my Google Wallet card. Please help.
Yeah.
I'm stuck.
I don't have high hopes for this. You guys?
It's the minute you said beta. This is your money. This is tied to your accounts, probably tied into your bank account with a cash card somewhere. Don't do that, people. Beta test action launcher and fun stuff like that, but not your money. Let Phil beta test it.
I don't think I'm gonna... I don't think I can, in good conscience...
And you're probably right with the people not wanting to accept it, because, I mean, we won't get it here, I wouldn't have thought, but, we have chip and PIN for a start.
Yeah, it probably wouldn't even work.
But, you're handing this thing that looks like a hotel room key more than it looks like a credit card. So until it's, it doesn't have a Visa or a MasterCard logo on it, what are they? They're probably within their rights to say, we're not taking that, because...
Yeah, doesn't have a logo.
We don't know what you're giving us.
I love the idea. I really do. But just no. No.
I mean, it could turn out to be one of those things that's ahead of its time. But if it is, then it's still ahead of its time, right?
Well, that's what it sounds like. Today. Because, like Phil said, the idea is great. Everything in one spot. But I think you nailed it again. That this is ahead of its time. The world isn't ready. Nobody's ready. Nobody's going to take it, and you're going to end up needing your credit cards anyway. That and the beta testing.
So there's that. Before we get into the Q&A, I just wanted to say I'm back in the LG G3. I went back to the M8 this week. I just can't do it, guys. I love the M8. I do. With the camera. So
those back buttons.
I'm back on the G3. I'm back on the Verizon logo that has an LG G3 strapped to it. All right, back into the Q&A. Starting from the top, Lars wants to know, important question, gin and tonic or vodka and Coke?
Vodka and Coke?
Whiskey.
Vodka and orange soda stream.
Jack and Coke, but only when I'm not at home, because it's a long story. Go ask my wife. She's on Twitter. Oh, she'll tell it. She loves telling that story.
Don't hashtag that one Philbeard, though.
Thomas says, hey, guys, I'm going to the Big Android Barbecue this year for the first time and potentially only time. Who from Android Central is going, and is it possible to set up an AC Readers meetup? We are still figuring out who's going to go. Unfortunately, I am not available that weekend. I'm going to my wife. You might have heard of her. She's on Twitter. Going to her college reunion that weekend. So I don't know. We've got to figure that out. It's really awesome, though. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. It's in Dallas. It's the weekend of October 17th, 18th, 19th. I can't remember. It's 2 days or three. We've got a big old picture in our sidebar on the site.
Sit around and eat great food, drink beer with a bunch of people that love Android.
Hell yeah. No, I haven't been able to go in a couple years now, but the one I went to was great. So, BigAndroidBarbecue.com. Go check it out. Ryan wants to know, when will people get over Verizon putting their logo on phones they sell? Half the comments in the X Plus One thread were about the Verizon logo. Well, don't read comments.
I have a better question. When will Verizon get over putting their logo in a special place on a phone different from everybody else?
I tell you, I mean, and we were talking about it before the podcast. A lot of times I'm standing like right here taking pictures of phones, right? I'm to the point where I almost just want to Photoshop out the Verizon logo because it's just, I feel like it's free advertising for them.
That's why it's there.
Yeah. Mm. They did it for me.
Can you not just kind of, is it one of those ones you can scrape off with a coin or something?
No, we were just looking at that, and Jerry thinks it's probably under the glass. I can't feel anything as I'm rubbing my fingernail on it.
They're wise to you. They're wise to it.
I'll just put a piece of tape over it. Nobody will notice.
Oh, don't even get me started.
V. Ellis Wade asks, any chance that the headset being teased with the Moto X Plus One in a few weeks will solve that watch distraction issue you guys spoke of?
Maybe. And we kind of talked about that a little bit last week, that it could maybe be the kind of stuff that might otherwise be piped to your watch could maybe be done audibly through your ear.
Yeah, I do question if another device is going to solve my distraction problem.
Why does Android Wear have to be a watch? Why can't it be an earpiece?
It doesn't have to be a watch.
Yep.
Nope. Chau asks, have you seen Guardians of the Galaxy? Anyone seen it? I haven't seen it.
Nope.
I
don't know. Is that, what's it rated? Is it up there for an 8-year-old? Can an 8-year-old
watch it? It's rated Jerry, get back home and work. Love film.
Fine.
I don't think it's a kid's movie.
Yeah.
Not your age, kids.
Okay.
I think it's for a little bit older kids.
Well, back to Barbie it is then. Thanks. A couple Nexus questions. Jamal wants to know, what do you guys think will become the Nexus 7 or 8? Is it official that HTC will be making it? No, nothing is official.
Well, nothing's official, but...
Nothing is official.
Nothing is official. Yeah.
Anthony says the next Nexus most likely will be announced in the next 10 weeks, and so far Google has kept a tight lid on it. Tell us what you know, pretty please. I know nothing. And you know what? I kind of like it that way a little bit. I like being surprised. I know we're all supposed to be, you know, leak happy and whatever, but I like being surprised. I like not walking into an event and knowing practically everything about the thing they're about to announce. You know, I mean, getting to see it a day or two or a week or two ahead of time is one thing, but I don't like it. I don't like being tainted. It takes kind of a little bit of the fun out of it for me.
I know enough on the technical side to be prepared for when it comes.
Well, look, and there's a lot that you can kind of just predict. I mean,
right.
look where processors are. Look at the chipsets that are, if not out right now, almost out. You know, we know 64 bits in the relative future. So we can, you know, think about that.
But in the meantime, we've got tons of new phones coming out.
My thing has always been, I mean, here's my thing on leaks. I saw other people asking in the Q&A. My thing is, yeah, you can always talk about what's coming next or what might happen and rumors and stuff like that. But why is everybody so dismissive about what's out there? I think I wrote about this last week, the week before, in my column on Sunday. It's, you know, we're here to help people, and ignoring all the devices that are out there just makes no sense to me. Ignoring the things that people are buying and using because it's old, it's all of, you know, 6 months old, you know, that doesn't make sense to me as a publisher. It doesn't make sense to me as somebody who wants to help people. That's my thing. That said, if, you know, you have the new Nexus and want to send us pictures, bill@androidcentral.com. I'll take a look.
You remember the Google video from last year when we were around the bar in Berlin?
Yeah.
Trying to figure out what it was.
That was right about a year ago. I was sitting in the airport in Paris. Oh, God. What's this? When does Android L release? Will it be released for my Galaxy S4 and my Nexus 7 2013? Nexus 7, yeah. Jerry, what was your guess on the GS4, or did you?
I don't know officially what I wrote. My gut call is yes for the S4. I mean, I'm sure that's what I wrote, too.
There's no technical reason why the S4 can't run L.
And Samsung can put L on there, and the few maintenance release bumps for it, and then be done, and the S4 is out to pasture. By that time, it'll be 2 years old.
Here's a good question. Mark says, any idea when Android TV might be launched? And I say it's a good question because you think it'll be ready? I mean, assume Nexus time is, if they do another one, which probably, I'll go and say probably. I'm expecting something this year. Assuming it's in the usual time frame, late October, early November sometime, maybe even a little bit later. Do you think they will do, because, I mean, Android TV is a thing. Do you think we will have actual consumer production hardware that we can buy at the same time?
We're not going to see Android TV until after we've seen any potential Nexus tablet, and I'll leave it at that. It cannot happen.
Okay. Could it be like 5 minutes later?
Sure. It could be 5 minutes later. But we have to see the one before we can see the other. And when it's released, you'll know exactly why.
Gotcha.
And more than anything, I think getting this stuff to more people is going to involve getting it built into TVs, and that's probably not going to happen until CES at the earliest.
Well, and it also makes sense if you're going to launch something like that, you launch it with L.
Yes.
I mean, just from a straight upgrade standpoint, like, why would you launch that? And then these little watches are one thing, and you know, there aren't probably that many of them floating around out there.
But when you build a product that I can potentially go into Best Buy and say, oh, my oldest kid would love this for Christmas in his bedroom, and it's only $199 or whatever it's going to be, you have to make sure that's ready for the consumer. That there is potential here, and we've said that every time they do something new with the television. But there really is potential here. And Google may get lucky and tap into it, and it may end up be like the Chromecast where everybody wants one. And if so, it can't be crap. It has to be something good. So you need to wait for the proper hardware and software before you launch it.
Todd wants to know, will Alex join the bearded men of genius and win? And props to Todd for remembering that podcast title.
You know, we need a Kickstarter to get Alex to grow a beard.
We're going to be like 2 months down the road and be like, Alex, when are you growing the beard? He's like, what? I have been.
I should go and eat a beard, maybe.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Richard's going to be like, I have to change the diaper.
Pretty much.
He has no idea. I mean, a good friend of mine just had a kid, too. So I've been giving a lot of people crap about that. It's like, you have no idea.
The only man looking forward to CES because it will involve more sleep than I'll get at home.
Henry wants to know, have you seen much more of a battery increase with the latest Fire Phone update, Phil? For, you know, the one other person who cares.
Be honest.
Honestly, I have seen the exact same battery life, which has been in the off position on my desk. Completely discharged. I didn't even bother turning it off. I just let it die. Sorry. I don't know if it's a good phone. I don't think there's anything inherently evil about it. Here it is.
It's a cool little phone.
Yeah, it really not is.
For that price, Amazon, sell them for $99 unlocked, and you'll sell millions of them.
Jerry and I were talking when both of us had one. Do you still have that, Jerry? Did you?
Yeah, they. Yeah. I have not yet heard where to send it because I need to send it back.
And we were talking, like, he and I are looking at this thing at the exact same time. It's like, oh my God, we could write so much stuff about this, and just, you know, a lot of it's actually really interesting. But nobody's gonna have this phone. It's I mean, again, speaking as a publisher, it's just not worth our time to do it. And I feel a little bad about that because there's a lot of really cool stuff here. There's a lot of really, like,
But the fact is if you come to Android Central, before you should buy that phone, you either buy a Nexus or if you're on Verizon, buy Moto X.
Yeah.
Those are much better phones that are going to save you a lot of money. That's the problem.
So that's that. Could Jerry, here's a good one. I have no idea the answer. Could Jerry shed some light on why apps need to be updated or converted to work with art? Actually, I can answer this one, but I want to hear Jerry's answer first. One example being the Expose module.
Art. Number one, art is in flux. What art was at the beginning is not what art is now. Art takes the data of an app that's built before it runs, and it builds an executable file that can run easily without having to reference other dependencies in the code. I'm probably saying this wrong, but I'm trying to make it a little more user-friendly. Dalvik did that while the app was running. Art does it before the app is running. The executable file it builds needs to have the right information because the interpreter, which is Art, used to be Dalvik, or the virtual machine, whichever you want to call it, is no longer going back and referencing what's in the code and building it just in time. It's pre-building it. So you have to... This is all done on the developer side. When you're building your app, when you're compiling your app, you have to make sure your app knows, all right, this needs put into an executable file that the virtual machine can read and run my app well. Did that make any sense?
I was just going to say the first part of what you said. The art we're going to get in L is different than art as you know it now, and the art we get will run Dalvik apps just fine, so you shouldn't have to change your app, actually.
Wait, they never said it will run them just fine. Well, they just said it will run them. I'm pretty sure it's not going to run them very well.
Okay.
You know, that's just me guessing. But they do it differently. The way the app is run at a low level is a little bit different between Art and Dalvik, so you need to optimize your app. That's why a lot of apps crash on Art, because the information that is needed is just not there.
There you go. That the developer talk from I.O. on Art was actually really interesting.
Yes, it was.
Made me watch it. And I, you know, a lot of it's still over my head, but...
But it's still, watch it for the parts you do understand. Everybody, watch all of those dev sessions if you can.
They're done so well. I'm not quite the target audience for that, but you learn so much. Just watch any of them. I'm flipping through here. Jason says Android Studio is getting better and better. New Android file navigation is awesome. So all you devs who are cursing it, stop it. I guess
there's so much I love about it, but yeah, there's so much I hate about it. And I'm just glad that I don't do development work for a living anymore, because I would just be ripping my hair out.
Our app dev Neil switched over from Eclipse, and actually he took it like a little challenge. He's like, all right, I'm going to give myself a couple days to do this, because obviously it's where Google's going. And he was gritting his teeth a little bit, and I think I heard him cursing a little bit, but he did it. I think he's happy about it, because he's finding a lot of stuff he likes there. So Carl wants to know, do you think L will be another licensing deal when it's named?
Yes, that's a good question.
Go ahead, Alex.
No one seems to really... I mean, there are a couple doing the rounds that have sort of been used codename wise. But there's nothing as prominent as Key Lime Pie was back in the, you know, the pre-release Android K days, I guess you call it now. You got to imagine that with the secrecy around it, they've got to have something planned, or at least something that they're exploring.
I can't help but go back and think, we expect L sometime this fall, October, November, thereabouts, you know, just to coincide with prior releases. This time before KitKat, several months ahead of time, nobody would tell us what the name was, but there were plenty of people that work for Google that were having a lot of fun kidding everybody that K does not mean what you think it means, and you all are going to be really wrong and laugh at you. In fact, they got me to believe they were going to do Candy Cane with two Ks because they kept telling me KK, KK.
Yeah, I think we said in a previous podcast, right around the time before they announced KitKat, that we've been hearing KK for a while around then. The two that were doing the rounds way, way back, I think, were Lemon Meringue Pie and Lollipop. I'm not convinced either of those two is necessarily going to be the one.
Well, and that flan image is still in the Easter egg, and people, not a week goes by where somebody doesn't send that in. What is it? It's flan.
If the guys that write Android love to have a lot of fun, and I think if there was something special going on, they would be teasing people about, we know something you don't, and then having an inside joke because they just like to have fun. And I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's just a name.
Yep.
Just like the number is just a number, and no, it's not going to be 5. I still see people discovering that too.
How sad is it that I've sat down and tried to figure out if there is a secret name for L based on social media postings of people that work in Mountain View?
Yeah.
That's horribly sad. I need a lot.
We've all done it based on analytics. You know, we look at that stuff.
Yep.
All right, should we announce the contest, and then we'll get out of here?
Let's do it.
So we're going to publish this just as soon as we're done here. I think we just got to put a forum post up. But that, do you have that there with you, Alex?
I do not have the Funk within arm's reach, no.
Okay. So we've got that HTC One M8 Funk. Is it Funk Design, Funk Studio?
Funk Studio Edition.
Funk Studio Edition with the cool designs on the back. We're giving it away. We have version, edition, whatever, number one.
One of 64
made in the world, and ours has the number one written on it. So it must have been made first or something. But we're going to give it away, and we're going to do it a cool way. Basically, I want to see people leave their own designs on the back of an M8. And so we'll have a little picture there you can download and design it however you want. And we will pick our 10 favorites through next Wednesday and then put them up for a vote to everybody. And give it away that way, I think. Does that work for you guys?
That sounds good.
Well.
Awesome. And we will announce it live on the podcast next week, which will be our 200th podcast, and actually, if you're paying attention, it will still be on Friday. I am available. Cool. So, regular time next week. And with that, I really did a poor job of sticking a fork in a timely manner. But consider this podcast forked.
You had to leave time for the Funk edition. It's all about the funk.
Stick a funk in it.
There's the title.
It's time to get the funk out of here. You can get us all on Google Plus and Instagram and Twitter. If you're not following Android Central on Instagram, it's time to do so, because we are starting to have more and more fun on there. And we're going to continue to have fun on there, whether or not these guys down below, well, you can't see them right now, but whether or not they like it. Jerry, Alex, Andrew, wherever you are.
We're going to be on the road a lot in the next couple of weeks, so
I love Instagram.
Might be posting some stuff on that.
They just hate me.
Still won't let you back on, will they?
Well, I got a new name now, Android Central. Mm-hmm.
And we are also brought to you by shopandroid.com. Call 888-468-6158 or go to shopandroid.com. If you use offer code AC10 at checkout, you will save 10%. Do that. do it often. Baby needs a new pair of shoes. That's gambling, I guess. Anyway, Jerry, Alex, Richard, thank you. Everybody listening live, thank you. Everybody listening at home later, you are also awesome. Just not live and awesome. You are whatever. Recorded and awesome. Come join us live. It's fun. That's all I'm saying. Anything else? Are we done? Are we out of here?
I think we're good.
I think we're done.
All right. See y'all next week.
See you later.
Later on.
Toodles.
Android Central 199 was brought to you by Lynda.com. Get professional training from more than 100,000 video tutorials, including lessons in Android development, animation, and design. For a free 7-day trial, visit lynda.com/androidcentral.